This is CIOI, Hamilton's home for alternative. Indy 101.5 FM.
Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Sarah Jessica, and this is Hot Shots on Air, if you're unfamiliar, and thank you for tuning in this week. I'm sorry if my voice sounds a little nasally, a little bit congested. I am getting over a cold, so you're going to have to enjoy that for the next hour. But nevertheless, I am talking to Joshua Pascua tonight. He is a Hamilton-based pop/R&B singer-songwriter and Mohawk music graduate. You can find Josh on all socials as Joshua Pascua Music, and on streaming services under Joshua Pascua. So, hey, Josh.
Hey, how's it going, Sarah?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Trying to stay warm. It's still kind of cold, but, you know, weather's getting better.
It is. I know. It's still kind of nasty out there.
No, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So just to kind of start everything off and give you a little introduction here, how would you describe your sound and style as a musician?
Yeah, for sure. So when I was growing up, I was really into pop music, like really into pop music. So right now I'm trying to incorporate what I learned from high school and I guess like college, like the music that I've learned, I want to incorporate it in what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
So long story short, I would define my music as kind of soulful pop R&B.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, with a little flair of funk.
Totally. Yeah. Who would you say are your biggest musical influences?
My biggest musical influences. That is a good question. So, I really loved Bruno Mars growing up. I remember in elementary school, I did a paper about him, and realizing now, like, he was really young starting out, and because I don't know, hold on, let me check how old this guy is. Bruno Mars,
yeah,
he's definitely a big one because him and Anderson .Paak came out with Silk Sonic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely loved love that album. They're killing it. They're killing the music game. They're definitely a big inspiration for, I guess, my performances.
Mm-hmm.
With the music I'm putting out on Spotify, Apple Music, all that, I'm really inspired by artists like Mac Ayers, Bruno Major. These guys I actually discovered first year of college, and man, they're in that R&B field.
Mm-hmm.
And the vibe that they give is just so beautiful. Like, I listen to it and I get lost, you know, and that's the kind of music that I love listening to, you know, the music that you just sit back, listen to, and I guess like you forget about the world, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, totally.
Best kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, Stevie Wonder, great mm-hmm. guy, Michael Jackson, yeah, those are just some of my inspirations there.
Cool, yeah. What do you feel as though you take from those individual influences? Like, do you feel as though you take, like, a vocal style from one artist, a production style from another? What do you feel as though you take from them?
So, let's start with, I guess, the performance side of it. Mm-hmm. Watching Bruno Mars perform on stage and, you know, with Anderson .Paak, seeing that, like, they inspire me to really entertain. And being entertaining is something that I really like really love doing when I perform on stage, just because, you know, I love seeing smiles on people's faces. And yeah, so they inspire me in a performance aspect. With people like Mac Ayers and Bruno Major, like I said, they put such like creativity in their music. And, you know, I got inspired by the type of music they made, like the chords they used, the melodies they were using, because some of it is very simple. Like, I realized before, I was like, dang, like, you know, they're putting such like they're making it so complex. But, you know, when you start actually dissecting their music and kind of taking it step by step, you see that it's not as complex as you'd think, and it's actually really simple. And I think simplicity in music is really key to really make a good song, right? You don't need such a big production or a big, like, you know what I'm saying? It, like, the music doesn't have to be so big to be good,
yeah,
right? There's greatness in small things, right? Especially, like, with like, just a voice and guitar. You know, it really grasped my it really caught my attention there. It's like, you know, because I like to think big. I'm a very optimistic guy, and I like to shoot for the stars, right? But you know, sometimes the thing that you need, or the thing that's worth listening to, it's not up there, but it's, you know, right in front of your eyes.
Yeah. Do you remember what you listened to as a kid, or like what your parents listened to, what your family played growing up? And do you feel as though those early influences have an impact on your current style?
Growing up, I sang a lot of karaoke.
Yeah.
It's a very, like, so I'm Filipino, and it's a very like Filipino like tradition to just, at every house party, we're doing karaoke. You know, every time there's always like a family function. And it's funny, like, I remember we always got challenged. We're like, if you get 100% on this karaoke song, we'll give you $5. And I was like, yo, what? $5 to get 100%? I'd be singing my heart out to songs like A Whole New World. That's a classic one. A classic one from Aladdin. You know, I'd sing my heart out on that one. but I wouldn't say like I listened to those songs like religiously. That's what I was listening to karaoke wise. I remember listening to bands like Marianas Trench, Headley. I listened to, I did definitely listen to Justin Bieber growing up. He's a pretty big inspiration. Who else? I was definitely in that pop scene for a bit. It's so funny because I remember hitting a stage in my life where I loved like alternative like punk music. Do you know a band called Mayday Parade?
I do.
Oh my gosh! Thank you, I remember when they broke up, and I was super upset. I was like, dang. Because they're like, I think they only got an album or something, but that album, I remember I was in Florida. I did a vacation with my family, and I had my, it wasn't even an iPod Nano or iPod, or it was some ghetto MP3 player.
Right.
And that MP3 player was filled with just Mayday Parade.
Love that.
Oh my gosh. So just hearing those and like thinking back at like the music I make now, it's so different, but like I still get inspiration from bands like that. And you know, I still want to incorporate every type of style of music I do, you know, now from what I listened to in the past. High school, I listened to a lot of alternative because I was in a rock band with a couple of my buddies. That was fun. That was fun for a bit. We did a bunch of like Green Day stuff, Foo Fighters, but ultimately my genre changed when I hit college, when I discovered like what, like the true music that I really wanted to sing. But no, definitely like the songs and artists and the bands that I just listed off, they've given me like a major impact. Like, you know, I wouldn't be who I am. Like, I wouldn't be the artist I am if I didn't listen to those bands and artists.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. That MP3 player that gave me a little flashback there. I had a hot pink one as a kid, and it was just filled with Avril Lavigne.
No way. Uh-huh. That's so funny. Just yeah. Avril Lavigne.
Literally just her.
Have you heard her new song? I just listened to it.
I haven't actually.
Oh, no?
No.
Because my girlfriend, she's obsessed with Avril Lavigne. Like, mm-hmm. we'd be driving and she'd be just blasting Skater Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, great. Just mm-hmm. we're listening to this for the next 30 minutes.
Yeah. What's your review of her new song?
Oh, my girlfriend?
Or you, I mean.
Oh, my gosh, so sorry.
That's okay.
So, sorry, can you say that again?
Yeah, I just said, what's your review of Avril's new song?
Oh, I love it.
You loved it? Okay.
Yeah, no, everything she makes is, like, great, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess I gotta check it out, then.
I had no clue she dated or married to the lead singer of Nickelback.
She was married. Yeah. They're divorced now, but yeah, they were married.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, no, it's like all these small little things. I was like, dang, like, because again, like, usually when we listen to an artist, we just know their music.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you start to get, you know, like, when you start really, like, loving the person, you really get to know them. Because I didn't really listen to Avril Lavigne. Like, I wasn't too big of a fan.
Yeah.
But then, you know, like, just being, just listening to it a lot because of my girlfriend, she just influenced me to really, like, get into her music. And then I just learned a lot about artists that way.
Totally.
You know, like, their lives and all that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think she's dating Maude's son now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so. I believe that's a thing. Yeah. Oh, you mentioned that you did a lot of karaoke as a kid. Do you feel as though that helped you, like, to kind of train your voice before you did lessons? I don't know when you started lessons or if you did many at all.
Honestly, growing up, like, I did not have the best voice. And, like, okay. I remember, like, yeah, no, karaoke, like, I wasn't really focused on, like, the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of the work.
Nobody you know, is, like, I mean, with karaoke.
You know, yeah, exactly. So with Rock Band, you know Rock Band, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's that vocal setting where when you're singing, you just have to sing the right pitch to get the points. That's basically what I did with karaoke, just so I can get that 100%.
Yeah.
Get those $5.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, growing up, I didn't really do vocal lessons. Cause I started off playing guitar. I didn't realize like the love I had for singing
mm-hmm.
until like the start of high school, mm-hmm. because in grade 8, I remember I was going to audition for my school's talent show in grade 8, and I was about to sing like a Headley song, Perfect. But thinking back, I was like he goes in falsetto, I couldn't pull off like mm-hmm. that song.
Yeah.
And it really discouraged me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dang, what am I doing? Like, I should just stick to playing like guitar and piano. Mind mm-hmm. you, I was self-taught like guitar and piano. But then high school came around, and me and my twin brother, we actually signed up for the talent show our first year of high school, so we're just freshmen. And we killed it. That's the funny thing. Like, I played ukulele and sang, he rapped, and we got first place.
Wow.
And from that moment, cause we got $100 from that talent show.
Big money.
I was like, oh my God. And your friend's with Juliana Jones, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
She came third place. And so she came third. There was a guy who did yo-yo. And he came second place, I think. and then I came first place. And I was like, let's go, bro. Because I was like, yo, what? Because I thought Juliana Jones was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 100%. I was like, oh, what the heck?
Juliana but, losing to the yo-yo. That's so funny.
I know. Tell her that next time. But,
I will.
Yeah. So yeah, we won that. And from there, I was like, yeah, like, okay. Like, I don't know, like, I don't know what happened from grade eight, like, from the time of grade eight till then. I was like, yo, like, because back then I was like, yo, like, I have such a crappy voice. Like, it's so bad. But then boom, I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to give this a shot. And then all 4 years of high school, oh, yeah, they asked me if I wanted to be part of the vocal program in my high school, like, that year. And I was like, oh, my gosh, look, like, what an opportunity. And from there, like, that's where my voice started developing. That's mm-hmm. where I started to fall in love with singing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Totally. What kind of came first? Was it singing or was it learning an instrument, or what kind of came first for you?
I would have to say learning an instrument, because okay. I remember the first time my older brother came home with a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I see it, my eyes lit up. I was like, yo, what is that? That thing looks so cool. And you know, he's like, oh, it's a guitar. He's like, don't touch it, it's not mine. I was like, okay, whatever. I touch it. I was like, oh, this thing's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I started like, you know, playing around a bit. I have no clue what I'm doing, but like, I loved holding it. So went online. I was like, okay, let's learn some basic chords. And you know, I talked to friends. I talked to people. Like, it's so hard for people to really start picking up the guitar. You know, because they, I don't know if they have like sensitive fingers or it's just tricky for them. But for me, I remember it came so easy. I remember playing my first C chord, and I was like, oh my God, that was beautiful. Oh, and then I play my G chord, E minor, D, and like, those are the first four chords I played. And right from there, I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is amazing. I love music. I was like, this, like, stuff, like, and that was in grade seven. Grade seven. I was like, this is beautiful. I love the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and from there, the piano came right after, right? So after I self-taught myself, or I taught myself guitar, I was like, ooh, the piano sounds nice. So I'm doodling around with the piano. And I see that I have kind of, not like a natural talent, because like I'm not a, I wouldn't say I'm like the greatest piano player, but I know how to play piano, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was definitely the instruments that caught my eye first. Yeah, it was because I learned the guitar first and the piano. Then I picked up the ukulele. The ukulele was an instrument that I played for the longest time, because I was inspired by this artist named AJ Raphael. He's an amazing guy. So I got really inspired by him. And there was also a guy named Jeremy Passion. He's the one that plays the song Lemonade. I don't know if you're familiar with that. A lot of Filipinos know that song, because it's like it's like every Filipino like knows that song. But
okay.
Yeah. But to answer your question, it's, you know, instruments all like did come first,
yeah.
But then ultimately, like, vocals was the thing that really, really got me.
Totally. Yeah. So what instruments do you play currently?
So we got vocals, I got guitar, piano, ukulele, bass, drums. You know, I could do a couple things on the drums. In college, I actually picked up the saxophone.
Nice.
And I thought it was going to be harder
mm-hmm.
to play, but it's all muscle memory at the end of the day. And obviously there's technique to it.
Mm-hmm.
I only played it for maybe a couple months, cause I just wanted to, you know, test the waters.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized I am pretty good on the sax, but I just stopped just because, yeah, I was doing too much. I was doing way too much.
Right. That sounds like way too many instruments.
Exactly. So saxophone. Did I say ukulele? If not, ukulele.
Yeah.
What else? See, like, I think that's it. Basically, all the basic instruments, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to, like, the instruments that I'd love to learn to play, though, I tried picking up a trumpet. That was embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
Trumpet Oh my gosh, I blew my first note and it was awful. Like, if you can imagine like a cat screaming, that's definitely how I sounded. My older brother actually, he took a trumpet. Mm-hmm. In elementary school, they were taught how to play whatever instrument they wanted from grade 7 to 8. And then I think he continued on in high school, but he's a really good trumpet player.
Cool.
Yeah.
You didn't inherit that talent, I guess.
Sorry?
You didn't inherit that talent, I guess.
No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You got to share, you know?
Right?
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite instrument that you currently play?
Favorite instrument? Good question. Good question. Like, as much as I love singing, it would definitely have to go back to guitar. Just because, you know, I was just seeing it for the first time. I was dang, this instrument, it's so cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then, it's just fun to just play around, noodle around with the guitar. And being self-taught, too, I feel it's an accomplishment for myself because, there are people who, it's obviously not meant for everybody, right? But I know that the guitar is definitely meant for me. Because I see myself as a very advanced guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
And again, being self-taught, I never had a professor show me any inversions on guitars or any, scales or nothing, right? It was all me. I was so dedicated to this instrument. And, you know, I am still to this day, there's still so much to learn. Mm-hmm. On the guitar, right? There's still so many styles of playing, and I'm really getting into jazz guitar right now. Just chord melodies. Me and my keyboard have been talking about it. I'm just trying to be more professional in the with the guitar. Mm-hmm. You know,
sure.
So, yeah.
How was your time studying at Mohawk? You went there for the vocal program, right?
You got it. Yeah. I loved college. A lot of people, I hear it all the time, right? They're like, oh, don't, go to college or go to college or university for something useful or yada yada. But to me, I was like, you know, if I'm going to take music seriously and as my profession, obviously I'm going to go to school for it. But I had doubts. I wasn't going to go to school for music. But, I'm really glad I did. The program was amazing. You know, the connections that I've made are lifetime, right? Let's see here. I remember the first year of college, though, there was a strike. We had a strike for our first year.
Hmm.
So I didn't really learn too much just because, obviously, it was limited.
Yeah.
But the second and third year were really great, you know. The people, like I said, the people I met, I still talk to this day, and they're still helping me. Some of them are my bandmates that we still perform and play together. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I would definitely recommend, going for music school if you're 100% passionate about it, right? Because, as a musician, right, or if you want to pursue music, it has to be your plan A, B, C, all the way to Z. If you're not confident with it, then definitely, then don't. That's just my opinion, because it's something you need to have a passion for and that you're willing to put that 110% into, right? Because you can obviously have it as a hobby, but I'm just talking about if you're, super serious and, you got that fire, then it's 100% for you.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you feel as though was the most important lesson that you took away from the program?
Connection is key. Connection is definitely key because, for myself, I'm a very dependable guy. I love teamwork. I love having a team. I'm very charismatic, very outgoing. I love just, meeting new people and connecting with people. And just because everybody has a story, right? And you can always learn from somebody,
mm-hmm.
right? My keyboard player, big shout outs to Kevin Mack. Like he's taught me so much, with like music and just life. Him and I were roommates, actually. It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like if I didn't go to school, I wouldn't have met him. So, you know, you always want to be personable too, right? Mm-hmm. Like that goes with, you know, connections, right? So yeah, that's definitely a big thing I learned throughout my years of, college.
Yeah, totally. When did you start creating music?
So with creating music, I always had a love for making music. Going back to that talent show in high school, the song that me and Justin performed was actually an original song, so that him and I wrote together. And when I tell you, it was the cheesiest song. Like it was cringy. Like mm-hmm. it was very cringy. So mm-hmm. Let me think of the words. Okay, because this was years ago, but. Here, let me say a couple lines, and
yeah.
you'll see how cringy it is.
Go ahead.
So the hook. So the song was called Crazy, and I think it was it's like I'm crazy for you, baby. I gotta sing out. I'm crazy for you, baby. Yeah, you're the only one. Oh no, I can't. I'm so embarrassed. Like
that was amazing.
About, like. It's so cringy because it was, we were young, like we were both in relationships. Okay. Mm-hmm. And like, we were young in love. We thought we were going to marry these like girls. We were like, what, 14 at the time? Oh mm-hmm. my gosh. Yeah. We were very naive, but we, it was a good time because like, we just wrote about love,
mm-hmm.
you know, and nothing wrong with it. It's just. Looking back, we're like, oh my God, like, why were we saying stuff like this? One of the cringiest lines that I think I've ever said was, if you were a booger, I'd pick you first.
Oh,
and
my
I think
Lord.
From that, I think from that moment, I was like, okay, I'm done. I was like, I'm done with these
Seriously?
Cheesy lyrics. And just thinking back with, at those words and like the type of music I write now,
mm-hmm.
like songwriting is like, it takes work. Like
mm-hmm.
I figured that out. I definitely figured that out. Right. Cause you know, it's like poetry. It's 100% like poetry.
Oh yeah.
Right. It's all about writing a story as well. Back then we're like, oh, like what's the cheesiest thing we can say, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, like, but now it's like, you know, what does the heart feel, or what does this persona, I guess, feel at this moment? Yeah, no, I've definitely matured with my music writing, and I'm so like, I'm very grateful that we wrote such like corny stuff back then
mm-hmm.
to realize, oh, like this is how you actually write music.
Right. Right. To get out of your system, you know?
No, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. What was, so you didn't grow up in Hamilton, did you?
No, it's funny. I was born in Montreal.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Born in Montreal. And then I grew up in Brampton.
Okay.
And making that switch and moving to Hamilton, it was such an eye opener because even
yeah.
though like Brampton's not even that far away from Hamilton,
yeah.
it's still different cities. And moving out for the first time, I was excited, but I was nervous because, like I said, I'm a very outgoing, charismatic, kind of dependable person.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved out to Hamilton, for the first time in 18 or 19 years, like I was alone, right? Cause I have a twin brother. Him and I shared a room together. We had bunk beds. I basically had like a designated best friend my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, I moved cities, and move out on my own. And now I'm so lonely. And I had such a like big problem with being alone. It's one of my biggest fears of just being alone. And, you know, and from there I was like, dang, like I need to start making some friends. And that's where like connectivity, like within the school really, came in handy, right? Like making friends here and there. And it's cool that the program I had such like amazing people. Like I was so fortunate to meet such amazing people there.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. A lot of talent coming out of Mohawk.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Who are some talented local artists that you think deserve more spotlight?
More spotlight?
Yeah.
So I actually dropped one of my latest singles I dropped, it's called No Reason. And the person who featured on it, his name's Young Vinny, or I think he goes by Vinny A.
Mm-hmm.
And he's definitely one who should get more recognition because he constantly is writing. He's, you know, like, as a rapper, like he's very lyrical, which I love. I remember meeting him the first time. It was with me and my producer, Schwa. He walked out of the studio and I see him and Schwa tells him, he's like, oh, like I've heard so much about you. I've heard your music. And he's talking to me about this. He's like, man, like let's collab. That was a year ago, actually. It was a year ago. And then, you know, then him and I were like, all right, you know what? Let's work on this song. And, you know, a couple months later, boom, like we got a song out together.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, no, he's definitely someone who like, I feel should get more recognition.
Yeah.
Like, he's very good.
Oh,
and that's if we're talking like Hamilton locals, right? He's definitely a Hamilton local. Another guy, K-Trig, man, he's really killing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, him and I have been talking back and forth. Really, really great guy. Wasn't he just on your? Wasn't he just on actually?
Yeah, last week.
I saw that. I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he loves his community. I think that's the one thing that like is really cool about the guy. Like he loves his community.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just having that passion for, you know, the place, because I know he's definitely Hamilton based, like he like grew up in Hamilton, so like it's cool to just have that passion for the place that you live in.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely one. Alyssa DVM. There we go. Alyssa DVM.
There we go.
Man, she's amazing. She's very amazing.
Yeah. Three amazing artists.
Oh yeah.
Do you have a dream collaborator? And you can go big on this one, like choose anyone, mega famous, doesn't matter, but someone who you'd love
dream
to collaborate with.
That's a very good question. That's a very good question.
Yeah.
I'm actually working on a lot of collabs.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Last year I was just dropping single after single, just myself to kind of showcase who I am. And then this year, the first single I dropped this year was actually a collab with Young Vinny. I'm in the works with collaborating with a bunch of new artists who I believe, you know, are so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But a dream collaborator would, dang, there's so much good people to choose from. I would say a big one is Mac Ayers, because he's a really big inspiration to me. Like a lot of my music is really inspired by him, like my R&B feel ones. He looks like he has so much fun on stage when he performs. And yeah, no, I believe that him and I can make some good music.
Cool.
100%.
Yeah. And is there anyone local that you'd love to collaborate with that you haven't already?
Good question. Dang. So, I say, because that's the thing, like, I'm in the works of, like, collaborating with a bunch of artists, so I don't want to spit too many names out there.
Sure.
But... Let's see here. Dang. Putting me on the spot. Really putting me on the spot. I would love it. Are we talking like Hamilton based, Toronto based? What are we?
Yeah, we can do like GTHA. Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna pass this question for now, just because okay. I've got a lot on my mind with collaborators.
Yeah, so. Don't want to spoil anything. I get it.
Exactly.
Totally. Well, I think we're going to hit pause on this conversation for a quick second and play everyone a single from Joshua Pascua. Mine is a softer R&B track about asking your crush if they'll be yours. Just joining us, this is Hot Shots on Air, and tonight I'm speaking with the Hamilton-based pop slash R&B musician Joshua Pascua. So we just came back from playing Mine, a single that you released last weekend. How long did it take to write that song?
So this song didn't really take too much the writing aspect, anyways. I just happened to be in kind of the right mindset at the right time. Right, just playing the right chords. I would say this song took me about like 2 weeks to finalize, like the writing process. The production process with the mixing and mastering, that definitely took a little while. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm still learning, I'm still fresh in the production game. And, you know, I'm always learning. Everyone's always learning, right? It's always nice to just keep learning. I love learning.
Yeah. Do you always self-produce?
Sorry, say again?
Yeah, do you always, like, produce your own music?
No, with my first, like, official single, I actually worked with my producer, Schwa.
Okay.
And him and I have created such amazing music together.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely one of the biggest inspirations with my music as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I love his workflow, his you know, just everything about the guy. He's such a great guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, no, him and I just work like really well together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On Mine, though, you are producing yourself?
Yes.
Cool.
You got it. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. This single, I thought to myself, I was like, you know what? Like, I want to showcase not only my, you know, singing abilities and my playing abilities, but, you know, my abilities to kind of, you know, mix and master and just overall produce a song. Because the song that me and Schwa wrote, the first one we ever wrote, was called Looks Back Hill. Mm-hmm. I'd like to call that my first, like, debut song, but during the pandemic, I actually wrote two or three songs, which are out, and they were produced by me. But, it's not that I wasn't proud of it. Like, I used the knowledge and the equipment that I had to my disposal, but obviously they weren't the best equipment. And looking back at the song that you just listened to, Mine, that compared to, like, the first song I've ever produced, it's very different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just everything about it. Like, I didn't know what, like, plugins were. I didn't know what VSTs were. I didn't know, like, anything about, like, EQing or nothing. I had, like, some knowledge, but I wasn't at a professional level yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just crazy to see, like, how much I've grown from this song compared to the first songs I've ever dropped.
Yeah, oh, I bet. What are the lyrics about on Mine?
Good question.
Yeah?
Man, like, I would say, it's tough. Like, think, like, you know what? It, like, whenever I write music, like, for most of my songs, it's not really coming from, like, I like to talk about, like, my own experiences, but I also like to, I like to create stories.
Sure.
Right? So this is basically a story about, I guess you could just say, like, you know, lovers, right? See, because going back to, like, just writing love songs, like, you know, like, I'm still doing that, but
yeah,
in a less cheesier way.
Totally.
So,
yeah.
You can definitely just say that.
No shame in that.
You know, oh, definitely not. Definitely not.
Yeah.
This song is definitely like a love song, right? But to get more like in depth with it, you know, it's about a girl who, you know, she doesn't feel like she's like the best, right? So, you know, this guy kind of, guy in the, you know, this song, the story, I guess, you know, saying, hey, listen, like, you know, like, you're not, you know, like, jewelry doesn't prove, like, anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I have in the chorus or the hook. But, you know, like, personality is what is best,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, mm-hmm. you know, you have an amazing personality. That's all he's looking for. You know, he wants you to be mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. And what do you hope your listeners take away from it?
What, the thing I'd want my listeners to really take in is, like I said about, you know, the music that Mac Ayers and Bruno Major do, I want them to get lost with the song, right? Because
mm-hmm.
it's such a short song, right? So I want to make sure that when they listen to it, they really, like, you know, like, take in every single second, you know, like, make every second feel like a minute and every minute feel like an hour. Just really take in and, you know, like, get in their field. That's
mm-hmm.
what I want.
Totally.
Because putting someone in their field, just, it's such a, like, puts them in such a personal connection with the artist and the listener. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to make an impact on people's lives with my music. And, you know, if someone's having like a really bad day and, you know, they put on their headphones and listen to my song and they just get lost for a bit,
yeah,
you know, and it just, you know, makes them feel a little better. Like, I know that, you know, I'm doing my part as an artist to, you know, spread you know, spread happiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right before mine, you dropped No Reason, which is the single featuring Vinny A.
You got it.
How long did that song take to write and create?
This one actually took a while. It's funny because I actually produced the beat for this one. Schwa's the one that helped mix and mastered it, but ultimately
nice.
I came up with the beat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in September of last year. I was actually creating this beat, and I remember on Snapchat I got a flashback of me saying, it's like, oh guys, like, what do you think of this beat? Does it slap? And so No Reason dropped like a month ago. It took a couple months because me and Schwa were in the writing process with the beat. We're like, you know, what are we gonna talk about? You know, we're like, what do we want this to be about? And it definitely took a while just because we're working on like other stuff as well, right? So we were kind of just going back and forth about it. We finished my verse and the hook, and then we had an open space for like a second verse. So we reached out to Young Vinny, and he was like totally down. And like I said, like he's super efficient. He's very quick with writing lyrics and just writing verses. So he sent over his verse to Schwa, and then from there, you know, Schwa mixed and mastered it his thing. And yeah, I think it was January, February. He had it finished. And when I listened to the whole thing, I was like, wow, like it's crazy to see the start of something and then the end of something. I was like, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember listening to the final master. I was like, yo, this is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, no, it definitely took a while, right? Like music doesn't always come overnight.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it did. Like, believe me, I really wish it did.
That'd be much easier. Yeah.
Way easier.
Yeah. What are the lyrics about on that song?
No Reason. Good question. So for me, it was actually like a collaborative writing session with me and Schwa.
Okay.
And it's. Like from the aspect, right? It's like you know, girl who's unfaithful, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like the title says, I can't love you for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There has to be a meaning towards a relationship, and if you know, if there's no meaning, then there's no point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really like a really deep song, and has a slap beat. I love it. The beat just slaps.
Yeah. And what do you hope your listeners will take away from this song?
That song? I just want people to vibe to that song, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, just, you know, put it like, you know, just put it on full blast and just start singing the words out. Despite the words, it's still a very fun song at the end of the day, right?
That's
to my opinion anyways.
Yeah, no, so, totally.
Yeah, you know, as long as people have fun with it.
Yeah. As you mentioned a little bit earlier, you released quite a few songs last year in 2021. Do you have a favorite?
Oh, good question.
Mm-hmm.
Good question. Because I think I released like 12 songs.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal with me and Schwa, like we were saying, it's like we're gonna drop a song every month.
Mm-hmm.
That was our plan, but you know, some things got busy. But yeah, the first song we ever dropped, and I think that is actually my favorite one. It's Looks That Kill.
Okay,
that's definitely one of my favorites because I remember writing Looks That Kill. You know, I just played a guitar riff, or I played chords, and then I picked up a bass, and I was like, ooh, like this bass line would go nice. So I show Schwa, and he's like, ooh, this is so nice. He tells me, he's like, oh, send me those. So I sent him over, and then he created such a beautiful beat. So he's the one that composed the instrumental for that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just like I said, from start to finish, like I remember the very start of that song was, you know, it was such a small little thing, but now it's was like my highest streamed song, which I was like, dang, that's amazing.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
How do you feel that your musical style has changed since you first started creating music?
My musical style. So, yeah, I remember, yeah, no, my style of music has changed so much. Like, mm-hmm. starting from an early age, I was learning, like, pop chords, like, you know, like poppy chords on guitar. Then I went into my rock phase in high school, got out of high school, went into college, and I remember, like, being so invested into jazz just because that was the program I was in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to like be so invested in jazz, but then something clicked with me and my keyboard player Kevin, and we're like, no, let's do funk music. And then throughout my college years, we were just doing funk music, right? We were going like super like James Brown, Stevie Wonder, and that was fun. That was like the best.
Mm-hmm.
But then once I put out all my songs on Spotify, I feel like I'm in a comfortable genre where I like doing R&B and soul.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so R&B and soul is where I'm at now. So you could just see the journey of all the genres I've kind of hit, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, it's cool because like I still love and admire all the genres I've played, and like I'm still down to do all those types of genres, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Where do I see myself in 5 years? I definitely still see myself doing the exact same thing I'm doing now, which is just creating music, trying to perform and play wherever and anywhere I can, basically. Hopefully I've got a couple more songs out. Let's see here. Yeah, I'm hoping to have at least 2 albums out by then.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I actually had a debate with my twin brother about albums and whether it's beneficial for, you know, independent artists to put out an album or just keep dropping singles.
Mm-hmm.
And like, 'cause I had, me and Schwa had a big discussion about it too. Well, it wasn't a big one, but 'cause I told him, I was like, hey, like, what are your thoughts on like dropping an album? 'Cause in my head, like I thought an album would be a really good idea, but with albums, like, and I'm both sides to it. Like they were saying, well, Schwa was saying, you know, it's better to start off just dropping singles just so people can get a feel to your music, you know, one at a time instead of you dropping like 20 songs and them, and then you have to expect people to listen to all 20.
Mm-hmm.
And especially for someone like, for people who don't even know who I am, right? It's like, why, like, what would the reason be for them to listen to my music anyways? So that's essentially why I dropped like 12 songs in the first year of, you know, my, I guess, like professional music career. But then my twin was telling me, you know, like, you know, albums are great, right? They show your work, or they show basically everything that you are in this one album, right? Albums take a long time. I'm sure he understands that in some sense, but writing an album takes a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, anyways, because you gotta be 100% dedicated, motivated. You gotta put your heart and soul to this album, right? Like you don't wanna put like 50% in,
mm-hmm.
on something that should, you know, have 100% of your time and effort.
Yeah.
But you know, when the time is right, I'll definitely have an album out within these 5 years, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. What can we look forward to seeing from you?
A lot of performances. So I've got a I'm in the works of putting on a show, actually, this summer.
Awesome.
So you know what? For people who are listening, you know, keep an eye out. I've got big plans.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't performed in a really long time, just because of obviously the state that the world has been in.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, now that you know things are finally opening up, everything's becoming more, you know, open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to take this chance to, you know, start, you know, doing the thing that I love, you know,
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, recording is great, you know, being in the studio is cool, but my true passion is, performing on stage. Like that's definitely my calling. I know that for sure because, you know, like I have such a different, I feel so much more different on stage than when I'm recording on the studio.
Right.
Right. I'm so much more free on stage, running around, singing, making people smile.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In the studio, it's more professional. It's more, serious. Right. And mm-hmm. a lot of people tell me I have this red light syndrome. I think that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
When you're about to record, the red light goes on, and then I don't sound as good as I should be.
Right.
I think it's like a nerves thing, but yeah, when I'm on stage, it's a totally different thing. Where I'm free to do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But yeah.
Awesome. Well, everybody, you can keep an eye out for Josh's upcoming performances. You can check out his socials under Joshua Pascua Music, and then listen to a bunch of his music on all streaming services, again, under Joshua Pascua. And thank you so much, Josh, for joining me and talking to me tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I had so much fun.
Yeah, anytime. So we're going to wrap up this episode with another single from Josh. No Reason is a single from earlier this year about betrayal, heartbreak, and tainted love.
Hey guys, this is Joshua Pascua, and you're listening to Hot Shots on Air on Indie 101.5.
Cause I know I can't find someone like you, but your love isn't here. Now I see crystal clear, cause I know everything all about you. You know it's true, I'm feeling you, but you don't ever make the time for you and I. Honestly, it's killing me, cause I seen you with that guy a couple times. I gave you everything and more. You asked me for. Now I need something to believe in. I can't love you for no reason. I can't love you for no reason. I can't love you for no reason.
Yeah, your love is my drug and I need it. Fight all the time for no reason. Believe me, I've been working on my demons. Let's start over, let's hold hands so I regret it. Yeah, argue with you just so I get even. Today I'm busy, so you spent the day sleeping. Damn. And she told me I ain't got no feelings. Told me that my heart's so cold, I'm 100 below freezing.
I know it's true, I'm feeling you, but you don't ever make the time for you and I. Honestly, it's killing me, cause I seen you with that guy a couple times. I gave you everything and more. Everything you asked.